tonight on this very special episode of Married with Channels. It's a Perry Mason episode. The latest one, episode 6. For those that don't know, you know. It's Moose and Jody.
Hi.
Let's talk Perry Mason episode 6.
All right. Let's do that.
Go, start talking.
So awkward
start. Great point. That's a great point. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
Awkward start for Perry Mason to learn on the job training.
Would that actually happen where you kind of, I mean, I guess so. If somebody hires you to be their lawyer and you've got your license and passed the bar.
Yeah. I mean, everybody has to have their first courtroom appearance at some point, right?
Da-da-da-na-na, da-da-da-na-na. Yeah. No, he was thrown into the fire. Yeah. How great is Stephen Root playing District Attorney Barnes? He's always good. He's just consistently good. I remember I interviewed him once on the radio show. Nice guy.
I thought it was a little kind of machismo of that character to offer Perry the glass of water, you know?
I actually took that as kind of like it's a testament to Perry, or excuse me, Stephen Root. It's almost like a pity water. Like, here, take it.
Oh, really?
You sad little man. Yeah. I didn't get that as like a, take this water and you'll be my bitch, you know?
It kind of looked like he was making him look weak. Making Perry look weak.
I think he already looked weak. He almost felt bad for him because he kept having that coughing fit.
Yeah.
I didn't know if that was like a play. Was he trying to maneuver something with that cough?
I thought so too. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it was to gain jury sympathy or if it really happened to him. I think it really happened to him because then it shows the scene where he's like, my body won't do what my mind tells it to.
Yeah,
I rehearse it at home and I'm fine, but I get in the courtroom and I can't do it. You know, he's got some performance anxiety.
Yeah. No, but he started to kind of smooth his way into it a little bit.
Yeah, he kind of felt his way there and even started objecting when he should and kind of found his footing there.
Yeah, and it was interesting when Drake took the stand and they had the evidence to essentially call out Drake and seal the deal for Emily.
Yeah.
But he decided not to. He stuck to his word.
Well, because it wasn't ethically obtained. You know, the chain of evidence that Dencher...
No, not that.
Oh.
Before that, when Drake was on the stand, before he took the stand, they had some evidence pertaining to Drake that if they used it, it would let Emily essentially throw the case out.
But in the process, it would.
But in the process, it would destroy Drake.
Right, but I thought it was the dentures because he falsified his report and all that.
Well, see, I don't know. Maybe you're right. I keep thinking that has something to do with the blood trail.
Well, he demonstrated how far that was, and yet there weren't any photographs of it. And you know, they're already kind of hinting at the crime scene is not what you think it is.
But he didn't. Oh, he did have the denture
when
Drake was on the stand, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Use it would have been unethical.
Yeah, but then Drake came and took the dentures out of the pin board and put it in an evidence bag, dropped it in the box, and like, oh, look what I found.
Yes, like he wanted to make it right. But it was interesting to see Perry wrestle with that. He decided he wasn't going to be as corrupt as everybody else. Like he's going to do this the right way. So that's kind of cool. Even though he's getting his butt handed to him in court, he doesn't stoop to the level that everyone else is at, basically, was the dilemma.
Yeah. So one of the elders is up to no good, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I missed the connection there. That came about in Pete's investigation.
Also, is the rich old man who's Matthew Dodson's father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Robert Patrick.
Yeah, is he one of the elders?
He is.
His character.
And apparently he's a multimillionaire.
Yes. So they found a correlation there. They found the thread that they're going to pull on here.
Right. And interesting that Holcomb and Ennis are kind of coming to a blow.
Yeah.
Holcomb doesn't appreciate. It's interesting. Like, it's not that Holcomb's a good guy and a good cop. He just right. doesn't like Ennis going on the take behind his back.
Yeah, like he just wants to know about it ahead of time. Or
yeah, almost like, well, I just need to prepare for it. So yeah. when S hits the fan, I'll be ready for it.
He's like, we're partners. And yeah. so like, you know, if you're going to be dirty, at least tell me.
Speaking of Ennis, do you know he's from Wales too?
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You saw an interview with him?
No, I looked him up on IMDb and it says born and raised in Wales. Huh. I was like, oh, crap. Him and Matthew Rhys are probably from the same neck of woods.
Huh.
But that guy looks like perfect for that role.
Totally.
As like a crummy LA, you know, gumshoe.
Yes. On the take.
And yeah.
Yeah.
But he's from Wales.
Interesting.
So, acting.
Right.
But the Sister Alice stuff.
Yeah.
Do you get the vibe that her and Perry Mason are going to fuck?
Yeah, like I kept getting that feeling when she's talking to him. It's like this weird chemistry thing. And I'm like, are they going to do it or what? Like, it's just weird. And I don't know if that's intent. I don't know if that's done on purpose or I don't know. I just pick up like a she wants him vibe.
Well, yeah, and that one scene where she asked him to come look at something and
yeah.
she showed him all the gifts from yes. people for Emily and the baby that's going to be resurrected.
Yeah.
And there was almost not a flirtation going on, but she kind of came towards him
yeah.
and was, you know.
She was talking about how she's not without sin and like.
Right.
Like she could be open to that, you know.
Yeah.
Little temptress going on there.
She's a little temptress.
Well, and it was. It's like, I don't know if she views him as a delight and a challenge as a project of someone to convert because, you know, he's kind of like, yeah, I don't believe in your mumbo jumbo religious voodoo stuff, you know.
Right.
And she called him over there to look at the gift baskets about blind faith and they had this conversation about faith and, you know, he's kind of a lost soul non-believer yeah, guy, you know, and.
Yeah,
so
he's wandering.
So I don't know if she delights in the challenge of trying to convert him or if she wants him. I can't tell what's going on there.
I don't know. I think that some point they're going to at least try and
something
screw around.
Will happen.
There's going to be at least a kiss. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I think there's going to be at least a kiss between those two. And, you know, I don't know. The curveball, the question mark is what is him and pilot lady's deal?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a love there. I think there's almost like a convenience.
I don't know because he does rely on her to talk through things and they seem like they actually have a genuine friendship there, not just you're here to warm my bed type situation, you know?
To warm my bed. That sounds like a 1930s term. Good for you.
Thanks.
I think though, I don't know. I get the feeling he tells her stuff. And it's not like he tells her that. I think she just kind of gets it out of him. Not that she's prying. I just think it's a matter of like she's not invested in any of it. So, and he's never going to go to a therapist.
I think that they're kind of good for each other. They're a nice distraction for each other. And I think you're right. Like she knows how to draw things out of him. But she also offers a different perspective on things too. And I think he values that. You saw him kind of like longing to go talk to her, you know, she's getting off the airfield there and he's standing at the office, with
Pete.
Yeah. And, you know, it was almost like he just wanted to run over there and tell her what's been going on and how shitty of a day it was. And what do I do? Kind of drown himself in that distraction, but yet somehow, even though it's a distraction, it kind of helps. It helps him. It propels mm-hmm. him forward in some ways.
Well, I think she fills something for him.
Yeah.
Some void.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's life partner, romance, let's get married.
I don't know. I don't think that would look like what you think it would for Perry Mason. You know, he's kind of damaged goods guy. And he's already been there, done that once with a failed marriage. And
but all the more reason, I think. Because he's been through shitty war stuff and his wife and him didn't work out and
yeah.
he can barely see his son.
Yeah.
I think he's in almost like not a self-destructive mode, personal life, but just like a, fuck it. I'm going to hump this chick. I don't care. I'm not going to put much in here. I'm not going to play.
Hey, sometimes that's how true love works out. You aren't even looking for it. It just lands right in you, you know, well, yeah, lands maybe. Right in your lap. And
I'm not discounting that at all.
Yeah.
Just to go back to my original point, like, I don't know what's going on there.
I think that they are a slow burn.
Who would you rather see?
Yeah.
The pilot lady in Perry Mason or Sister Alice in Perry Mason?
The pilot lady in Perry Mason. I think there's a better rooted foundation there. They just get each other.
Yeah.
I think the sister, it would be too volatile. They're both two very strong individuals. And I think, like, you could have probably some passion and stuff there, but for the long haul, I think they're just too explosive, if that makes sense.
I see what you're saying. I think the only thing that would keep them from coming together in a romantic kind of long-term relationship way is I think the religion's important to her.
Mm-hmm.
And it is definitely not important to him.
Well,
and I don't think he can be convinced to be like, just come to church and, you know, do some prayers with me.
Well, and I think too, like, we've seen little glimpses that there's probably some sort of shady stuff going on there with the church and her mother. I mean, there's some sort of business dealings or shady acts going on there. And I don't think Perry would ever just overlook that. You know, he kind of fights for what's right and the little guy. And
I think Sister Alice is isolated from it. I think her mother has kept her blinders on her daughter so she doesn't see the nefarious shit and the wheelings and dealings, the how the sausage is made.
I don't know, because she has something over the mom. She has some sort of power because she is able to manipulate her into what she wants. I mean, the mom wants to run. You know, she showed her the bags packed.
Right.
But somehow that she has power over her. She's got something lording over the situation, because she pretty much like throws her little fit and gets what she wants. And I don't think it's just a spoiled child type situation. I think she knows something.
Well, I think it's as simple as Sister Alice, the daughter, is she's the bread and butter of that church. She is that church. I think she said as much.
Maybe.
When they were kind of,
yeah,
when she saw the bags packed.
Yeah.
And I think her mom just kind of like, this is my meal ticket / my daughter. I can't leave without her.
Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll find out when.
I don't think the mom will ever leave unless the daughter is like, I'm coming with you.
Sure.
But yeah, something's going on with that church and the elder. But isn't that scrawny guy with the goatee? I can't think of his name.
Yeah, I don't know either.
Yeah.
The one in the office where they were counting the money?
Yeah. Nice trick with the hat.
Yeah.
Yeah, see?
Yeah.
Just put the hat on there, drop the ledger in the briefcase.
Switcheroo.
Snap it up the old switcheroo, Bethany. Okay.
How great was Perry's rant about EB in the car? Yelling at him.
When he's doing his John Lithgow impression.
Yes, that was so great. I love that.
Yeah.
It was just, it was appropriate, it was intense, but it was also kind of funny, and I liked it.
Yeah, no, it was good, and it was good. I mean, to be able to do for somebody with a Welsh accent, to be able to do an American accent, and then do an American accent impersonating another American accent.
Yeah.
That probably takes some work.
Yeah, he probably studied him maybe a little bit.
And I think right about there is when I point out to you that the guy who played E.B.'s son when they brought the body to the family plot,
yes,
was John Lithgow's actual son.
Yes.
And you noticed it too. And when that scene was going, I was like, boy, he does sound like him. And he kind of looks like him a little bit.
Same mannerisms, like speech things. Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought, man, that's good casting if he's not related to him, because he sounds just like him.
That's his real flesh and bone.
That's awesome. Is this his first acting gig? Or?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I mean, the guy was decent.
Yeah.
I got to believe he's done it before.
Sure.
And his dad's been around so long, there's no way his son hasn't done something.
Sure.
You know, like even a Life cereal commercial or whatever.
Hollywood nepotism.
Yeah, right?
It's rampant.
God, I hate that.
I know.
Just don't get to like Rob Zombie levels of Hollywood nepotism.
You know, I don't know.
I got my wife and everything and she sucks, but you know, wife.
I don't know if it's nepotism as much as it's family business. You know, if your father was a baker and you go and make a, you have a cupcake store, I mean, that's the family business. You're kind of getting into it, you know?
I guess it depends, but I see somebody like John Lithgow's son, and I'm not like railing on his son, but there's a way better examples for nepotism out there. But sure. When I see somebody like that in a speaking part in a national television show, which pays probably $5,000-$10,000, I think of like some schmo from Utah who went out to LA, has the talent, is busting his ass. Who could do that part? You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
I just, anybody
can pick up a cake mix, though, and make cupcakes. But if it's your family business and you're going into it, you know, I don't know, you kind of learn from your parent there.
Yeah, I guess. But, like, I wouldn't get Evie a job just because she's my daughter in radio. I wouldn't do that.
Sure.
If she said, I really want to do radio, and, you know, she's like,
what if she's 18, good?
I would still tell her, you need to go do an internship.
But you wouldn't say, hey, go talk to this person over here for this internship.
I would say, open that door? I would say, apply for an internship.
Yeah.
Go apply for an internship.
Yeah.
Go set up remote tables and haul heavy speakers in and out of a truck like everybody else does.
Sure.
And then, you know, work on a tape and give the tape to your boss and say, hey, I'm available if you need a midnight to six shift. Because that's how it's
You'd
done.
Make her work her way up is what you're saying.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more satisfying that way anyway.
Hmm.
I think she'd appreciate it more.
Sure.
You know, if she did get to, we'll say like a Howard Stern radio status, you know.
Hmm. Yeah, I don't know. It's hard because... You know, it is a business of connections and who people know. And
sure.
You know,
I know.
Lots of things in the world work that way, actually.
I know. It's just annoying. And
I've gotten several jobs because of who I knew that already worked there. Or.
Okay. That's, yeah. But in Hollywood, you know, for one part, there's probably 100 people
sure.
who could do that part.
I know, but...
And out of those 100, 80 are probably busting their ass.
Okay, but let's...
Auditioning.
But let's take this example, okay? I'm a casting agent, and I have the actual son who sounds like, talks like, looks like. I mean, what would you do?
And I think that there's some mutual exclusivity between... Hollywood nepotism and John Lithgow's son in this part. Because you're right. He looks the part, sounds the part.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to be his son. Okay, yeah. That's about right.
Yeah.
But I'm talking more of the other grander...
Sure.
Bird's eye view of Hollywood nepotism, you know?
So you don't think that children
that's
of...
That's kind of the outlier. To Hollywood nepotism. But go ahead, I'm sorry.
Well, I mean, we're talking about nepotism in regards to this particular case. But you're saying like other children of Hollywood actors should not get roles without working their way up, pounding the pavement. And here's the thing. How do you know they don't? How do you know they don't hustle like everybody else and go to hundreds of auditions?
I think a lot of it has to do with, like you said, go back, we said earlier, connections.
Yeah.
Who's the guy? Jonah Hill?
Mm-hmm.
His dad is like an accountant for like Guns N' Roses and other big bands, something like that.
Sure.
I guarantee you he got more opportunity for roles because of that.
Hmm.
Now, did Jonah Hill practice, work hard? Go to acting classes. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume based on what I see on screen, he's probably done some work to get there.
Sure.
But he's got, you can't ever say that he didn't get that role because of who his dad is.
I don't know. I mean, and there are lots of them that don't kind of work their connections, you know?
Yeah, there's some of those out there who, like, they changed their last name.
Yeah, like, is it Shirley MacLaine?
Oh, yeah, she's somebody's daughter.
No, she's like a sibling of, hang on, I just saw this.
Oh, Warren.
Yeah, Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty, yeah.
Yeah, but I never knew that until, yeah, like, this year. Like, that you just didn't either hear about that or they just didn't make a big deal out of it. You know, there are other things, too, where you know the connection, but the individuals kind of stand on their own. Like, I'll use Julia Roberts and Emma Roberts as an example. Like, I don't, she doesn't come off as Julia Roberts' mini-me, you know? Like, she's kind of her own style of acting. She's kind of her own person there, you know? She's not really compared to her.
No, it's, I don't think it's about comparing them to the other family member, actor, whatever.
Yeah.
I think, you know, word gets around. Apparently Hollywood's a small community, you know? So if Emma Roberts is going to audition for a role, that casting director will probably know by then that that's Julie Roberts' niece.
You think?
Yeah. And so therefore, you know, there's probably some advantage to casting Emma Roberts, you know? It's going to bring a few more eyeballs tuning into your project, movie, whatever. So, I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I hope I'm way off. But I just hate nepotism.
I know.
I hate it. I don't like it.
Well, in this
my
case,
my father's Bono from you, too.
In this case, in this episode, the previous episode, I think that it was a great casting choice because, you know.
Yeah, no, it's probably the right one.
Sure.
But it's just kind of sparked a different discussion.
Sure.
Could there have been another actor to pull off John Lithgow's son? Yeah. And probably even one that looks like him and could even kind of maybe have that cadence in his voice to kind of sound like his son.
Well,
but if you got his son and he's available and look, the shoe is fitting nicely there.
Sure.
And he's not like an actual plumber during the day who doesn't know what he's doing.
Sure.
Yeah, you'd be kind of stupid not to, I guess.
Yeah. Well, and I don't know, like, are there rules where they have to audition every part, every role? Or if somebody has somebody in mind like that, they just go directly to that person?
I think it depends.
Okay.
You know, there probably could be they read the script for that episode and, oh, we need to cast EB's son. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe John Lithgow's like, or maybe the casting or producer's like, John, doesn't your son act?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, he does.
Sure.
Yeah, let's get us his demo. Get sure. us his reel.
Magic of Hollywood.
I know, right?
Yeah.
I know, that's why I always get cast as Brad Pitt's son. So devilishly good looking.
Yep.
Anything else on Perry Mason episode 6?
I just really like this show. I'm excited to see where it goes.
I am too. I don't know about this resurrection thing.
I know, right?
Sister Alice is all about resurrecting that dead baby. They're talking about digging it up. I'm like, this is not going to end well for you.
Yeah, she signed the consent. The mother did. The father disowned the child in court, so they got her permission to dig up the body. The sad part is that poor mom is hanging all her hope on that, too. Yeah.
She's got nothing left.
Yeah.
Husband's gone. Lover's dead.
Yeah.
Baby's dead.
Yeah.
It's either the Hail Mary or prison, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap it up.
All right.
That's going to do it for this episode of Married with Channels, Perry Mason episode 6, and some nepotism talk. Make sure you give us a good rating on the podcast, the iTunes and all that, Google Play, because we got eight children. No interruptions today.
Excellent. Kid free.
Kid free. I'm Moose.
I'm Jody.
Bye-bye.
Bye.